Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. And Bob, I don't know if you realize this, we're dressed the same. Black sweater, blue jeans. We are dressed the same today.
I don't know if you noticed this, but about 40% of the guys you meet today are going to be dressed in black sweater and blue jeans.
I was never a black sweater guy. I got this for Christmas and I just liked it. You know, so, but this is the first black sweater I've had in my life in ages. But you're right. The black sweater, blue jeans is the classic look.
That's an amazing story. So let me recap for those of you who got blown away.
Yeah.
Matt got a sweater.
Yeah.
He liked it.
Yeah.
He's wearing it.
Yeah.
And it's similar to something I'm wearing.
Yes.
Mind blown.
By the way, Bob, before you
what get, a tale.
Before you pretend like you're Mark Twain, the ultimate narrator, we've certainly done plenty of time on the podcast about who's sitting next to you on the streetcar. Oh, a weird person's on the streetcar. Stop the presses. This is the first time ever. Someone contact Blog TO.
I'm gonna do the Steve Martin and John Candy in Plane, Trains, and Automobiles right now.
There we go.
Here's an idea. Uh-huh. When you have a story, try to have a point.
I do, Bob, and the point is this. Our plucky young hero never found a black sweater he liked, even though every other man had a black sweater. Then he got one that he liked. He triumphed over evil.
Our plucky young hero is neither plucky nor young and not especially heroic. Hey. Moving on. By the way, I've got a ton of stuff. I've lined up all my cards because I woke up at 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to shut up through most of this.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know I'm going to ask you questions, patiently wait for you to finish talking, and then just roll on with all of the material on these cards.
So very passive listening is today's pod.
I got a ton of stuff.
All right.
I got some rankums for you.
Sure.
I want to talk about the new Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I got a really weird top five that I threw together in a weird state of mind.
Okay.
And Leafs and Raptors and all that stuff too. Plus, I want to talk about parking lots. But where do you want to start,
I want to start parking lots. You tweeted out about where's the busiest parking lot.
The busiest.
Oh.
The most aggressive.
Okay, the most aggressive.
So my wife and I were at the Loblaws on the East Mall on Sunday.
Yep.
So you're coming just off the highway, and it's tucked in right there on East Mall, right?
Yep,
just,
I know what you're talking about.
Right. It's a pretty popular one out in West Toronto.
Yeah.
And that parking lot was automotive Darwinism. Like, everybody was just fighting for their little piece of asphalt.
It's the worst.
It was insane. It really was like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I had to watch maybe three or four people just swearing their heads off in their cars. And it got me to think, because I don't drive.
Yeah.
But as a, actually-
But you observe.
I observe because I'm in the observer's seat, also mm-hmm. known as the passenger seat, also known as shotgun. And it made me wonder, Matt, in your experience as a driver, what is Toronto's most aggressive parking lot? Because I think the East Mall might be it.
Well, here's the thing. Some people tweeted in, they gave a very good answer, Yorkdale. And the reason why Yorkdale sucks is, like, if you see a wasp just flying around, you know, it's doing its thing. But let's say you take a stick and you strike a hive. When all those wasps come out, they're pissed. See, that's Yorkdale because everyone funnels you in and out. There's only like one way to get in or out. So by the time you've even got to the parking area, you're already that really angry wasp. So I would put Yorkdale way up there.
That's a great answer, by the way. A great image I have to say of the aggravated wasp hive.
Yeah. IKEA
Nest.
Yeah, IKEA. Nest. I said hi, but Nest. IKEA, the one in Etobicoke, because again, there's only one way to get in and one way to get out. That's horrible. It usually has to be on a weekend because, you know, just everyone is coming at Saturday at 10:55 in the morning. It's usually a giant, like, you know, a giant plaza, you know, a box, you know, all the box stores together. It's usually something like that.
Maddie, my number one question when I see human behavior is what would the aliens think? And would they destroy us for having seen this? So, for example,
no, they'd be cocky. The aliens would be cocky. Like they'd be like, those humans,
like the Leafs playing the Panthers.
Yeah, exactly. Like those humans aren't prepared. They can't even get into home sense correctly. What do they think? They're gonna get a laser now and beat us?
So I think part of it is also the caged rat aspect of it, in that you have such a confined space,
yeah,
that you go crazy. Like, yeah, you're fighting for these tiny spaces within this confined space. And everything, like, in your lizard brain goes back to must keep gene pool going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's I usually just park at the back. I rarely even try for a good parking spot because just mentally it's so draining.
Now, I do want to get to the Leafs in a second, so I don't want to go too much on this topic. But yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think that's the difference between a single person and a person with kids.
Mm.
Because the parking lot is terrifying if you have kids.
Yeah.
Like, you have them on lockdown.
Yeah.
My hand is stapled,
yeah,
to Charlotte's hand.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she,
yeah,
is not allowed to let go because she's a nut.
Yeah,
she's but just, all nine-year-olds are.
Yeah, she's just going to race around and...
And nobody's paying attention.
No.
Right? They just, like, they're so focused on
and
their
big
spot.
Trucks parked in front of big trucks, and then they're backing out. You're right.
So yeah, you have the luxury, as you do in many things.
Yes.
I have the unconditional love of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else you have.
Yeah, you get that. You
that's
get,
the trade-off.
You get the moment when you walk in and Charlotte comes, says, Daddy, comes running, gives you a hug. And when she hugs you, you feel that life-affirming moment of you are bigger than the planet. I have naps.
Cause she woke up today,
yeah,
and I was just getting ready to leave the house.
Yeah.
And she said, Dad, where are you going? I said, I'm going to see Uncle Matt, and we're, yep, going to go do the pod. She goes, don't go. Don't go. Stay with me at least 15 minutes, okay?
Aww.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Everything else after that is, yeah, going to stink today.
Yeah. That's true. I got one other sort of driving parking question, and then we'll get to the Maple Leafs, where, yeah, at least Panthers, both teams like, eh, we're not going to try. But that team over there in blue and white's got more talent, so they'll win. Does Sandra get upset if, when she's in the burden of driving, especially if there's traffic or just the crappy moments of driving, if you're on your phone? And so you can get lost in your phone and you could be on Facebook or you could be reading an article with the top five most depressing Eastern European poets or whatever. You know, does she get angry? Does she get angry if you're in your world and she's stuck in the driving world?
In the moment, no. But who really knows?
Okay.
Right? She could come up in other ways later that I'm unaware of.
Okay, so she's an accountant? She's just keeping all these...
Keeping the ledger.
Keeping the ledger.
Balancing the book. Yeah. So like 3 days later, her and Charlotte are sitting there eating dinner, and she's like, oh, honey, there's some saltines in the...
Yeah.
You know, I forgot to cook for you, sorry. Like, it could be anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's pretty... Yeah, she's probably mad. She's sneaky.
Just keeps it noted.
Yeah. You know? Duly noted.
Duly noted, yeah.
As I like to say, let's put a pin in that and come back to it later.
Exactly. Yeah.
You mentioned the Leafs and the Panthers, and I have all kinds of observations, but I want to start with this.
Yeah.
Do you think that Morgan Rielly is getting ripped off this season? Let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was, of course, Tavares' night, and he has 4 goals, and he's at 45, and it's been 20 years since that's happened. Andrew Chuck, I think, was the last one to do it. And so you've got that. He's amazing. Auston Matthews, this was the year of his contract. Mitch Marner has turned into the all-world player.
Yeah.
Freddie Anderson's having one of his best years. It just seems like all these stories are happening. And somewhere tucked in the background, Morgan Rielly's going to be a legitimate Norris candidate.
Yep.
How the hell did we miss that en masse?
I think it's because there's no Gardner and Dermott recently, and because, you know, all the minutes that Hainsey plays and Zaitsev, like, you got all these other just very average to below average defensemen. So when we talk about the Maple Leafs as a whole, we go, oh, one thing the Leafs need to be better at is on defense. And then there's Morgan Rielly going, hey, I'm taking a lot of shrapnel here, and I'm hanging out at the kids' hospital. The gun refinery plant is over there. Why am I getting shots over here?
That's a great point. Do you think that the stink of the bottom four, or at least we'll call them the worst four,
yeah,
has clouded over to
a little bit.
Morgan Rielly? That's a really great point.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about the Chicago Blackhawks, and obviously it was Taves and Kane's team, and people like the nerds loved Hossa.
Yeah.
And, you know, Patrick Sharp for a while was...
Yeah, the nerds did love Hossa.
Yeah. He's like one of the classic nerd players in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, Duncan Keith always got his due.
Yeah.
Right? People always talked about how wonderful he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Morgan Riley's that good, but he's going to be on the ballot for the Norris candidate. Think about this. When the Leafs were great in the 90s, they didn't really have a great defenseman.
No.
when they were great in the early 2000s. They didn't really have a great defenseman. It's probably, and I started to do the math, it's probably been since Boreas Salming in the 70s, since there's been a defenseman who has this much league-wide recognition for his play.
And for good. Like, Phaneuf had league-wide recognition, but sometimes it was, you know, the trade, the money, the you're now the captain, and all of that stuff. And, you know, and he was put in a position to fail. But, yeah, this is the first time that the Leafs have had that level of defense. That defenseman, not that level of defense.
Okay, so I'm going to just throw out these questions and you bat them back to me.
Sure.
What is more impressive, Morgan Riley's 70 points or Austin Matthews' even strength scoring rate?
Ooh. I mean, I guess you kind of have to go Austin Matthews because scoring at even strength is I think, the best indicator of skill of a player. I think it translates more in the playoffs and all that sort of stuff. So I think I'd give it to I think I'd give it to Austin Matthews, but I don't have an argument if you go Morgan Riley.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I started to think about Mitch Marner's year.
Yeah.
John Tavares is here and Morgan Riley's here. Like, Mitch Marner and John Tavares have each other.
Oh, yeah.
And they've obviously got something. Like, that's a great partnership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who the hell does Morgan Riley have? Like, he's carrying Ron Hainsey.
It's true. In terms of degree of difficulty, you can absolutely say no Maple Leaf has a higher degree of difficulty than Morgan Riley. When you look at the assignments, the minutes, and his partner, it's like, you know, imagine, you know what it'd be like? Imagine being Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon 1.
Right, and he's got Riggs on his side.
But his partner isn't Riggs. It's Mel Gibson today.
Hang on, I gotta do this. Slow clap, Matt. That, if you thought of that just off the top of your head, that was absolutely brilliant.
That's Danny, like Danny Glover's degree of difficulty would have been way higher if his partner, was. So that's kind of Morgan Riley.
So Jake Gardner and Nikita Zaitsev. Zaitsev's bad.
Yeah.
Jake Muzzin and Nikita Zaitsev. Zaitsev's worse. Mm-hmm. So I think Gardner's been asked to carry a bad player.
Yep.
But he's not a Norris candidate.
Nope.
Like, it's a mind-blowing thing. We always talk about how you have to have that number one defenseman. And we still don't believe that Morgan Riley's that guy. Like, if you gave most Leafs fans sodium pentothal, like truth serum, and said, the Leafs have a dominant number one defenseman, they would say, not really.
They'd be conflicted, which is weird when you look at the season Morgan Riley's had. The only reason that there's a percentage of people that don't look at Morgan Riley as a legit number one defenseman is because he doesn't have every couple games the one big signature hit. Like, he doesn't have, and we've seen Jake Muzzin with a couple of these, just the big, I'm going to deplete this guy. And when we still think of defensemen, even though we realize the game is not where it was and it's about entries and about like Morgan Riley so many times last night kept possession in the Florida zone, which is what you want from your defense. But there's still part of you, that primal part that was cheering on Ron Hainsey last night when he whacked that Florida Panther guy who I was introduced to. Yeah, that guy.
Who you were introduced to, and we'll quickly forget.
I'm gonna forget by Wednesday.
You forgot by now.
Yeah, but like, there's still that primal side in us that need that, and that, Morgan Riley doesn't give that.
That's a great point. You've been making a lot of great points today. That it's perception, in terms of how bad the defense is considered, and it's also perception because he's primarily an offensive defenseman. He's not a bad defensive defenseman.
No,
but he's not physical and dominant. And brutish. And there is that part of our brains that just wants to see a big defenseman lay someone out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Just
or have something big, like a Shea Weber shot.
Yeah.
A PK Subban shot.
Yeah. Well, part of it is they're called defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
So the word defense is there. So sometimes we overlook the offense they bring. The word defense is right there. So we're like, okay, defend.
That's a great point, too. God, I'm just like all over your
this
brain.
This black sweater is really paying off.
You got to go goth, Matt.
Yeah.
If you go goth, you're going to turn into Dan Le Batard.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Does that make me Stugatz?
Ooh, you could not be Stugatz.
I could not be Stugatz.
No, I'm more of the Stugatz in this one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a bit. Because you're right. Even the names of the positions go back to maybe an old way of looking at the game.
Yeah.
Like center. Well, I guess technically you are up and down the center and the wings are the wings. But more and more, wings are taking over the roles of traditional centers.
That's what Mitch Marner's
Mitch Marner.
Doing. Yeah. So I think those things are just why sometimes we don't give Morgan Rielly the credit he deserves.
It's a good point. Now, I remember thinking back a few years ago when Carlson was being denied his Norris, and I was thinking, like, he's obviously the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
Certainly the most talented. But people just had a hard time voting for someone who could give up goals, even if he was responsible, like contributing to mad amounts of offense.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because every once in a while, someone would score on them. Yeah. People would be like, see, he's no good.
Speaking of insincere in voting, and I'm just going to say this. Every politician is bad at this.
Okay.
Every American president is bad at when the hockey team comes with the Stanley Cup.
Is this an Ovechkin and Washington Capitals
thing? No, this is John Carlson. You mentioned John Carlson. Mm-hmm. I'm up on Trump is like, where's Carlson? Where is he? And then he's like standing right behind him. And Carlson's like, I'm right here. And then you can see him, and Trump's reading the script. I heard you got 20 points in the playoffs. That's pretty good. And then he's like, there's a guy. His name is Bobby Orr. I used to watch him. That was a great player. And Carlson had a great line. He's like, yeah, Bobby Orr's better than me. So that was a fun moment. But just, it reminded me from Bill Clinton screwing up Iserman. And, you know, it's the one thing that presidents do. I'm sure even Barack, because there was no one better at it than Obama. I'm sure even Obama was a little stiff when the hockey team came.
You're probably right.
Unless maybe it was the Blackhawks. I bet it was the Blackhawks. I bet
he might have known something about them. Just the Chicago connection, having grown up around that team. It's a great point. By the way, I just want to say shout out to Donald Trump today for being the biggest asshole on the planet. Like, okay, so the Mueller report's done, and he sends out a tweet. Yeah. I wake up, I open up Twitter, and I see 9 minutes ago Donald J. Trump has tweeted, and he talks about how the fake media can suck it, and they are, like, the whole world is down on them. They are, the quote-unquote, the official opposition party and the enemy of the people. That's a statesman.
Oh, that's a statesman. That's a statesman when he's basically going, nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
No, he's not going nanny, nanny, boo-boo. He's going, okay, everybody.
Get them.
Arm up.
Yeah, against the press. Bob, you got it. Do you know that, A, I have muted Trump, Donald, like all these words on my Twitter account. Now, I still get Trump tweets. Somehow they still find a way. You know, the levy breaks on that one. But I got to tell you, like, whenever something happens.
You mean the tweets find the hole in the zone?
Oh, always. Or the so funny is I see like, you know, Charles Pierce is retweeting and he's got some message like lawyer up sluggo. And then it just says, tweet not available. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's Trump. I'm sure it's not someone from NPR.
Sluggo is actually a pretty good nickname for him.
Yeah.
Because
he
does like to fight.
Yep.
And he is a bit of a slug.
Yep.
Yeah, sluggo.
Sluggo.
Well done. Charles Pierce is so amazing.
Yeah.
I got 1,000 Leafs things to get to, but we can come back to some if you want to do some other stuff.
Sure. We can bounce around. Okay. Absolutely. Here's a question. Here, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Who will unretire faster, Conor McGregor or Gronk?
That's a great question. Can I throw this back to you?
Yes.
The answer is Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. He may be unretired by now.
Man. Yeah, exactly.
We don't want to. We're recording this at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be retired by the time
this gets
unretired.
That's a good point. I had to turn my phone off to you know, charge it. But
okay,
yeah.
So when famous ex-athletes retire, where do they wind up? WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And that's coming up soon. Who would you rather see at WrestleMania, Conor McGregor or Gronkowski?
I'm going to go with Gronk because he's more lovable. And I feel at some point Conor McGregor is gonna go from, you know, folksy casual racism to cringy casual racism.
Right.
And there's a difference between the two. And I feel that eventually Conor is gonna go there. And I'm gonna like, all right. So
I don't know about the racism part because I don't follow what he says enough to comment, but I think just after that whole bus incident, he's kind of morphed over into, I don't know if I want to root for this guy, even if he is electrifying.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I just realized, you know what Gronk's finishing move is going to be?
What would call the Gronk, I would think.
No. It's going to be called the 69er. Because you know how many times he laughs, like when he had 69 career touchdowns. And sometimes he would actually get uncomfortable with female reporters. Like, she knows what I'm talking about when he would say 69.
Right.
A pile driver is a stand-up 69.
That's a great point.
And you know, he's going, Gronk's, he's going to 69er. And then Gronk's going to go, that's what she said. And then he's going to go kablowing.
Boom! I love that. See? Yeah. The Gronk move at WrestleMania is like the old school 80s WrestleMania when they would get kitschy people to show up. They, I mean, they still do. They yeah. still do. But it's like Mr. T
yeah.
and Roddy Piper
yeah.
in the final match of the of Lawrence the first
Taylor,
WrestleMania.
Lawrence Taylor, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right. Like, it just keeps going yeah. and going. Conor McGregor would cut the greatest promo ever.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd trust Gronk to
oh,
do that.
Oh, no. Gronk with the mic would start. He would start. He'd pull a full Jimmy Fallon and just, he'd break character. Like, he would break character every time.
What if he wrestled under the name Mongo and he was dressed up like the guy from Blazing Saddles?
Oh, that'd be
kind
good.
Of an Outback Jack look with the sleeveless vest.
Yeah, yeah. Never mind that shit. Here comes Mongo.
Conor McGregor's finishing move could be called the four-leaf clover, and it would be basically a figure four,
yep.
but done,
yeah.
well, I guess Irish style, which doesn't really mean anything, doesn't but, really but mean his anything, thing but... is the Irish. Yeah, see, you see where I'm going with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, 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 absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I hope they both end up in, I hope they both end up in wrestling. The crazy thing, and I forget where I heard this, but when Gronk entered the NFL, Tom Brady had won 3 Super Bowls. And Gronk's retired, and Brady's coming back next year. And the Bills are going to go 6-10. The owner, you know, the owner's caught in a sex trafficking ring. Gronk's retired, and I'm still penciling in the Patriots for at least 11 wins, as James White will have 200 receptions for 8 yards a catch.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Who is the greatest player that Brady ever played with on the offensive side of the ball? Is it Randy Moss? Or Rob Gronkowski?
It's Gronk. Gronk holds the record. Gronk holds the record.
Greater than Randy Moss?
Yes.
You remember how great Randy Moss was.
Okay, I understand.
Best wide receiver in the game. Like up there with Jerry Rice.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is nothing against Randy Moss. I'm going to throw 2 stats at you. And by the way, if you want to argue Randy Moss, I'm not going to take off my glove and slap you and say pistols at dawn.
I'm the only one who's going to be up at dawn.
That's
you might true. You might still be up.
I'm doing 2-4s on TSN. Dawn. I'm not doing the first up. First up, I'm there for dawn.
After all those morning shows,
I know.
Dawn, who's that?
It's crazy. It's like 7:30. I'm like, maybe I'll sleep in a little more. But Gronk has the record for the highest average yards per target. Not catch, per target. 2, and I saw this one, I think it was Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk. No guy has a higher average yards per catch at that weight, like at 260. And the next guy is so far down in terms of weight and yards per reception. So because of that, I'm going to give it to Gronk because those numbers always astound me.
I loved watching him. Linebackers, too slow.
Yeah.
Secondary, too small. Mm-hmm. There was no options.
Yep.
There were just no options. Too tall for almost everybody. Too strong for almost everybody. Fast as hell.
The only thing
and willing to take a hit.
Oh, yeah. The only thing, speaking of hits, the only thing that stopped him was when the NFL decided, rightfully so, we've got to outlaw hits to the head.
Because guys started going after his knees.
Guys started going after his knees.
And I don't know if they targeted his knees necessarily, but when you move the target downwards and the guy is so tall to begin with, so hard to bring down, of course people are going to be hammering his knees.
Yep.
He had a Hall of Fame career as it was. Mm-hmm. If his health had been a little better, though, just a little better.
He's first ballot.
He's
first ballot. The shame is that he's like 29, and we just wanted more. Yeah, no.
I know. And also the Patriots, if you even tried to like them even a little, which I think most people have given up on.
Yeah.
But he really was the last piece of humanity that they had.
Yeah.
Anybody left? I don't think Julian Edelman's likable.
No. No, because Edelman's the beard and everything. He's like, shut up, Edelman.
Also, when you listen to him talk, he's a little intense.
Yeah.
A little intense.
Yeah, he is. And Gronk was just lovable. Like, he was an open book. He was a complete...
And that book had about 7 words
in it. Yeah, it really did.
Beer.
Yeah.
Tacos. Florida.
Cruise. You know. Cruise. The Gronk cruise.
I want to go back to the Leafs for a second.
Let's go.
Tavares could get 50.
Yep.
Should the Leafs care? They've got nothing to play for over the next 6 games.
Yeah.
They have, I think it's a 10% chance to beat Boston and get the second overall seeding.
Yeah.
And home ice advantage.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
We talk all the time about resting Freddie and this and that and the other thing, but would you scale back on some of your bigger players' minutes just in these final few games?
I absolutely would. And I would.
Or do you ramp up because he has a chance at 50?
First off, Marlowe and Anderson, both of you guys. Like, I mean, that's the first one. Anyway, that's the Captain Obvious one. Let's get to Tavares. Here's what I would do. You know, you're like 50 is something special. I would up his time on the power play. And I would up his time against teams like, or I would maintain his time.
I don't think you can really up it because he's on the first unit.
No. If there's a way of getting him one extra shift on a power play, whatever, I'd try to do that. I would maintain his time against lousy defensive teams like the Florida Panthers, who just didn't care. Against, you know, if it's more of an intense game, I'd pull him back. I'd try to find a way to scale back his minutes.
It would be nice, just symbolically, to have a 50 goal scorer on the team.
Yeah,
it would be the cherry on the top of a somewhat confusing ice cream sundae of a season.
Yeah,
but in the end, rest is better. But I don't think Babcock's going to do it.
And it's not like Tavares has been overworked this year anyway.
No, because he's Babcock. You know, we complain mostly about how the stars don't get minutes, and the scrubs tend to get too many minutes.
Yeah,
Marlowe's exactly. You're right. A foregone conclusion. He's at 782 games right now, and he's 110 from Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
They're going to let him go for it.
Yeah.
He should be a fourth liner, and I don't think that's going to happen either because Babcock aspires to his old Lion theory, right? Mm-hmm. He's even talking about how, you know, with Marlowe, you know, some guys just, you know, the regular season doesn't matter. It's almost like a Kawhi attitude. You know, he's going to ramp it up in the playoffs. Uh-huh. You'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. All right. We'll see about that. Fourth line cratered last night, so maybe they could use him. Anyway, I just was watching Tavares last night. I was thinking, like, this concept of rest right now is weird because there's not much to talk about with the team at this point.
Yeah, there isn't.
Like, they are who they are.
Yeah.
There's no, like, people are like, oh, they're going to have to find their game. They got six freaking games left. Then I'm going to find their game.
Yeah.
And if I'm Babcock, I probably just want them to get hot.
Yeah.
And win a bunch.
You want to get offensively hot. And it's like, hey, that stretch where the Leafs are playing more defensively responsible, not last night. You know what's a weird thing?
Hmm.
When you got Tavares getting close to 50. You're right. We haven't seen that since Andrew Chuck in the 93-94 season. Early 90s NHL does not resemble today's game. I went back and looked at like that 93-94 team. Just a reminder. Andrew Chuck had, I think, 54, 55 goals. Wendell Clark had 46. And Doug Gilmore led them all in points. Their number four scorer was Dave Ellett, somewhere in the late 30s, early 40s. There was such a drop-off after those top three guys, but everyone was scoring more. If you go back and look at that hockey...
A 100-point season was quite a good season.
Yes, it was.
Quite a good season.
Oh, it is crazy. Like, if you're ever bored, just go back, like Hockey Reference, whatever your website du jour is, and take a look at what the scoring rates were. It's so different. It's better now. It's better now than what it was in the early 2000s till about like 2 or 3 years ago. This year's been great, but damn, things were different.
Quick sidebar story. My sister's first hockey game ever at Maple Leaf Gardens, Andrew Chuck skating with the puck. And she doesn't know anything about the game. She doesn't really care. And by the third period, she just screams out when he touches the puck.
Yeah.
Hey, 14, too slow.
She was going after the wrong team.
She was right though.
Yeah.
He wasn't fleet of foot.
He wasn't fleet of foot, but he got 50. Anyway.
Well, because he was a horse and you were allowed to mug people.
Yeah, I know. It's true. If you want to go to a game like that, I mean, I don't know what you use. I sometimes use this website, Bob. I don't know if you've heard of it.
What is it?
Oh, it's called Seat Giant.
Really? Tell me more.
You've never heard of Seat Giant?
I have not.
Or seatgiant.ca?
I'm usually getting myself a tea or going to the bathroom.
Well, Bob, right I'm now. Doing a different read here. I'm doing a folksy conversational one.
Oh.
Man, don't you hate it?
The Carlo Colaiacovo as he talks about making t-shirts in the morning?
Exactly. I won't tell you what we're doing as he's giving that read.
I can imagine.
We try to up the degree of difficulty sometimes on those Carlo reads. Yep, speaking of a degree of difficulty, that's me, Bob, when I'm on that Ticketmaster. I was never that good at that whole math thing. But then Seat Giant came along and they fixed it because it's in Canadian dollars.
Is there any way to be folksy and a little quicker?
Oh, absolutely. SeatGiant.ca.
I'm just checking because I'm starting to feel like maybe I should get a blanket.
SeatGiant.ca, they're our Canadian partner on the show. Canadian operated, owned, and buy all your tickets, concert tickets, sporting events, whatever. And at the discount code, you type in Bob and Matt. So easy, Bob and Matt. And you will save some money at checkout, and we get a little bit of that money, which is great because doing the podcast ain't free.
That was great.
There you go.
By the way, speaking of me ripping you, how do you feel about my Instagram campaign of terror against your account?
It's great. It's fantastic.
If you're not familiar, if you weren't listening to the last week's pod, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago,
last week.
I ripped Matt because his Instagram posts are boring. Matt himself is hilarious and charming and one of the most lovable people I've ever met.
Like the Lethal Weapon reference I made off the top.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So quick, so clever, genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And then he gets to tweeting or posting about wine.
I know.
Oh, and it's so pretentious.
I know. Dull.
So now I've decided, because you've obviously turned down my offer to manage you.
Yeah.
That I'm just going to shame you into changing. So I post negative things about all of Matt's bad posts.
It's great.
Like comment. Nope.
Nope.
Boring.
Boring. Yeah.
And it's not going to stop.
Nope.
And I invite you, dear friend and listener, mm-hmm. to join me.
Yeah.
Let's cajole Matt into becoming more interesting on Instagram.
Yeah. I'm not.
You're not?
No. Like, yeah.
You're not going to do it.
No, no. I want to do it. Like, it makes sense. I should. There's just something in my brain takes over when I'm sitting next to the winemaker of, like, this guy's a celebrity.
This reminds me of my father-in-law when he was still with us. And, you know, he was Southern Italian, and it's a really heavy dialect.
Yeah.
And so, but if he got a call from Italy, mm-hmm. he would, like, really try to spruce up his Italian.
Oh, okay.
Buongiorno, chi parla? And, like, they would all, the family would all be laughing at him as he's trying spiff it up for the folks back home.
Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to spiff it up. I'm spiffing it up.
Buongiorno,
it's
El Vino, chi parla?
It's true. I'm talking about grippy tannins.
You're one big grippy tannin.
I know. It's a process, Bob. It's a process.
I got a question for you, Matt.
Yep.
And then I'm going to take a seat because I want to hear what you got to say about this. I'm conflicted.
Okay.
According to the NBA standings as of this morning, mm-hmm. the Raptors would play the Pistons in the first round.
Mm.
That means Dwayne Casey's led Pistons would be coming back to town.
Now,
ordinarily, that would be an amazing narrative. The ex-coach who's done really well with a kind of a crappy team comes back and has a chance to redeem himself. Ordinarily, and I love Dwayne Casey. You know I love Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
So many of us do. You'd be rooting for him. Except if he does it, the Raptors go out in the first round. Do you feel any conflict at all?
None.
And don't you, like, the first round you want the Raptors to pound somebody, right?
Yeah.
Would you feel good about them pounding the Pistons?
Yes, but I will allow this.
Okay.
They're allowed to win game three at home, a tightly contested game. Just so that the home crowd, because, you know, Detroit, at least because there'll be a lot of kids there, they get to enjoy seeing their team win a game. But the Raptors are blowing them out in games one and two. They lose a close one in game three. They win a close one in game four.
Possibly OT?
Possibly OT.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Blow them out in game five. So I want games one, two, and five. I want Lowry at 30 minutes or less. And then the other games, let him be close. I'll allow that for Dwayne Casey.
I like that. That's actually a really, really
fair,
good scenario you painted. Man, you're on fire today.
I don't want, here's a sentence they don't want to hear. Oh, it was Ish Smith that turned this game around. Good Lord. That last,
it was hard to watch a guy named Ish carve us up, but that is true. I was thinking about the ex-Raptors, the famous alum, and you had Dwayne Casey, who looks like they're going to play the Raptors. And then DeMar DeRozan and the Spurs, they're going to be in the playoffs. So the streak continues. They have a 581 winning percentage. Mm-hmm. That would make them the fourth seed in the East.
Yeah.
And they're in the West, so it means they're going to get Golden State.
Oh.
It's just not fair.
It's not fair.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
Like Miami, I think, holds the eighth spot right now. They have a losing record.
Miami's is leading their division. Think about that. Like that's like when Bargnani helped lead the Raptors to winning their division.
In
like,
the great turtle race between the Heat and the Magic right now for that eighth spot.
Yeah. Well, they're just a horrible. What is it? The South, Southeast. I forget what you.
I think it's called the Metropolitan.
Yeah,
we're in the Atlantic and they're in the Metro.
Yeah, they're in the Metro right now. Look out for Bobrovsky,
who is actually going to be in Florida next year, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll get into the Hot Panthers talk later.
All right. So anything, I got some more Leaf stuff, and I've got a really weird top five.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Apple TV observations and a rank 'em for you.
Let's do your top five. Let's start there.
So I was reading the other day about how Ben Lovejoy, longtime NHL vet, is going to leave his brain to science.
Yeah.
Donate it so they can study it when he was born.
Yeah.
When he's dead, I should say. That's a weird Freudian slip.
That's an odd one.
I've been reading a lot of Buddhism lately. Mm. Anyway. So I got to thinking, what athletes' brains would I like to study after death?
Ooh. Okay.
Right. And that, not for concussions necessarily, yeah, no, because like that's the obvious answer. Yeah. You know, I guess anybody's really, but like whose brains would I find the most fascinating to figure out how do these tick?
Okay.
All right. So ready for this one?
Yep.
All right. Number five, Igor Larionov. Mm-hmm. This is a bit of a hipster one. You know, I wanted to get out of the way early.
Yeah.
They called him the professor, and he was a brilliant player, both for the Red Army and the Canucks and Red Wings.
No, that's a good pick.
Right. No, but here's the thing. I interviewed him once, and he talked a lot about how when he was skating with the puck, everything would slow down, and he would imagine where everyone was going to go next.
Yeah.
It was almost like bullet time in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've heard Gretzky talk this way as well. And I'd be fascinated to find out, somebody whose brain is so slips into that flow state so often and easily and to such great success, it'd be fascinating to find out, is it actually structurally different?
Yeah.
Like we look for the bad when we carve up athletes' brains, but what about the good?
Yeah.
Like this guy's brain must be really highly evolved. Does it look different?
Yeah.
Is it structurally different? Number four, Bill Lee. Mm-hmm. For the obvious answers,
Spaceman.
Yep. I just think it would be a lot of fun. Greg Maddux, number three.
That's all. And I'm trying to put together a list in my head.
Right.
Greg Maddux absolutely has to be there.
Mostly because his ability to place the ball. Like, is he also again? Like, does your brain work differently if you have such spatial control?
Yeah.
Number two, Mike Martz.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator from back in the day, the greatest show on turf.
Mike Martz.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The most obvious and boring cliche whenever you have a brilliant NFL coach is you get them to stand in front of a board with a bunch of X's and O's and arrows everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's inside the beautiful mind of dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And I think the first time I saw that done, it was in SI with Mike Martz when he was creating the offense for The Greatest Show on Turf.
Yep.
I remember thinking, maybe he's just like a really smug asshole who puts every idea he has into the book and insists his athletes learn it.
Yeah.
They don't learn it. And then they get frustrated and he calls them stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good coaching. So just almost as a proof to the world.
Okay. Okay. I see what you're going with this one. Yeah.
And my last one I picked for you is Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, the NFL quarterback has to be the most interesting brain in sports, right?
Yeah, it does. 100%. I mean, you know, NHL defensemen, I get that. Point guards in the NBA. I think a lot of people just go LeBron James, but yeah, the quarterback has to be the one, just because you are processing more so quickly. And
what allows you to do that? Like, what kind of processing speed? Like, it would be the opposite of your Acer laptop, I think.
Yeah. This Acer is still going strong.
Well, Betsy here. Good old Sluggo here. Yeah,
the interesting thing with the quarterback is football's a fairly big sport in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Played all over.
It's got some likers. People like it.
I think it's got some legs. I think it'll survive. And yet there's so few great quarterbacks. Like, think about how many Americans play quarterback at some point or other in their life, and yet there's not that many good ones in the NFL. At most, maybe 14. And I might, there's how many teams have questions at quarterback. So, yeah,
there's more good brain surgeons in America than there are NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, The great NFL quarterback, it's always so few. One other name I would throw out there, Mo Berg. He was a catcher for like the Red Sox and a couple other teams, but he was also a spy. And there's a great book on it. And there's a great book and a movie that was starring Paul Rudd that sort of came and went. But Mo Berg spoke like 7 or 8 languages. And at the end of every game, all he would do was wander around whatever cities he would be in. He studied at the Sorbonne. His favorite thing to do was to get like 15 newspapers and sit and read. And in the Second World War, he was a spy. And one of his jobs was to go and listen to some German scientist to ascertain just how close the Germans were to getting the nuclear bomb. And if Mo Berg, if they decided that this scientist was really close, they had to kill him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds like a story your dad might have told you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I read
your
the
dad,
book a
the
little
baseball
while ago.
Writer and historian and all around.
Yeah.
Interesting thinkologist.
Yeah.
Surprising geniuses are the best,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you know, the actress Hedy Lamarr?
Yeah.
You've heard that name?
Of course.
Mel Brooks would always refer to her kind of as like the ha-cha-cha from the early days of Hollywood. Yeah. She was a genius. She was a double agent during the Second World War, and she and her husband developed a technology that was an early precursor to the concept of sonar.
Really?
Yes, Hedy Lamarr. And some people would argue that some of her early work as a scientist led to the advancements that built the internet.
Jesus.
Hedy Lamarr.
We're learning a lot in today's podcast.
Seriously.
People. By the way, everyone listening, you got this free. You are lucky. Bob
we're,
and
we're
Matt,
like the great
out.
Courses.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
at university. I love one of my favorite things now is to track. You know how like pod hosts always talk about how much they love products mm-hmm. and then they seem to go away whenever the sponsor changes?
Yeah.
So I love to watch the affiliations change. Like Bill Simmons couldn't get enough of MeUndies for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, I love MeUndies.
Yeah.
Now everybody's all over ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, ZipRecruiter is a big, yeah, that is true.
Peloton was one for a while.
Yeah.
Got a lot of Peloton out there.
Peloton's the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah, they have actual physical gyms now, don't they?
I don't know.
But I think they do.
They're the worst commercials. Just it's the person waking up extra early to get on the Peloton ad so they have enough time afterwards to make breakfast for the family. And their big tee-hee-hee thing is they find out that they're getting a Peloton for Christmas. So they wake up at 4:15 so their partner doesn't see them using it because they got to start using the Peloton earlier. Those ads shame the rest of us.
Matt, I got up at 4:15 today. You know why? Mm. Because I'm sad.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't get it to go in your private Peloton.
No,
you know.
I did it to go into my shower so I could do my crying before everybody woke up. Just like every other God-fearing, decent Canadian citizen out there.
That's damn right. You know, it's a great Canadian citizen.
Who?
Jeff Pollock stands up for you.
Love that guy.
Stands up for the law. JeffPollock.com is our lawyer. Here's how good of a lawyer he is. He finally got Bob and Sandra to get their will and testament all set up. There must have been some work because, you know, you are with child, so the stakes are higher.
We're not done.
What's that?
We're not done.
What does that mean?
We've just entered phase one of the negotiations between Sandra and I.
This is why you need to get him. JeffPollock.com. He's a patient man. He'll wait for you. He'll get it done. He's a nice guy. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. He's really good at his job, and he's just a nice guy.
I'm going to give you some advice, Jeff, because you're probably listening. And if the kids are there, earmuffs right now.
Oh.
So when you're trying to negotiate
with Elizabeth, Sasha,
right, don't listen to this part. This is just for daddy and possibly mommy. When you're negotiating our will with Sandra, just give up now. She will win. You're a brilliant lawyer. You're a super smart guy. You know the law, but trust me, Sandra will win. Mm. She is like Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh.
Like you cannot beat her in an argument. I don't think she has any of those jumpsuits.
Yeah.
She may.
Maybe.
I haven't seen them. But no, she will win.
All right.
Take it to the bank.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question about the Leafs.
Yep.
How much time do we have? Because I got a bunch of stuff to
16
get.
16 minutes.
Okay, so a bit of time. Do you think this is Kadri's last run with the team? I was looking at him last night, and he was John the other night. And, you know, we loved him for a long time. Watched him kind of rehabilitate his image with mm-hmm. the team in the city. And he's scrappy. He's feisty. He's got 30 goals in that stick of his. But it just feels like they're going to have to make some tough decisions. Do you think that Kadri is going to be one of them?
The only way they'd have to get something really good back because his contract is still like $4.25 million. Put a great pass on one of the goals last night. He was chirping that Jace Hollerock, or whatever that guy's name is. I have it here in front of me. I still can't pronounce it.
Just think of Dale Hollerock. Think of Dale Hawerchuk.
Hawerchuk.
And then think of Howard Luck.
I don't want to think of this guy again.
Fair enough.
His contract is so good that the only way is if a team really needs help at center and maybe they take back Zaitsev as well and the Leafs get a good prospect. Like for him to move, it's going to have to be a remarkable deal because part of this year is just bad puck luck. And for a number three, you know, for a number three center, I'm perfectly happy with Kadri.
See, that's the thing is, I don't know. He's a number two center on a good team.
Yeah.
But the Leafs have uncommon depth
yeah.
at that. Like, he's not yeah. supplanting Matthews and he's not supplanting Tavares, right? No. And he doesn't seem to have found his role with this team. Like, this has been a tough year for him.
It has been.
He's hit the post a lot. I think his season would look a lot better if he hadn't hit the post. I think, what is it now, 11 times?
Yeah.
I think he leads the league in that. It's actually a stat. But, you know, you got him skating with Kapanen and Marlowe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just feels like, I don't know what his role is. And here's the thing, because that contract is so good, like the Leafs have some substantial pieces they still need to acquire, most of it in on defense. But
yeah.
you got to give to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking because he is so valuable. You could always move Nylander to center. I know he's great with Matthews. I know there's a combo there.
You got to keep those two together. You know what you need to do? You just need to put, and you said it earlier, you need to put Marlowe on the fourth line. You need to put a more dynamic winger on the third line. Or
Trevor Moore, perhaps.
Like Trevor Moore, Kapanen, and Kadri. I think that would help everyone out.
For a lot of people, the Jake Gardner thing is intellectual.
Yeah.
Like, people who are into fancy stats say, don't sleep on this guy. He's actually really good. And for people who like a more older form of hockey, the Jake's mistakes kills them and they don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody like bleeds for Jake Gardner. It's not like people love him in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I think people like him.
Yeah.
We never really got to know him. But Kadri, you know.
Yeah.
He feels like a survivor from the shitty times.
Well, yeah, because grew up with him. He was here for the bad times. He reminds people every now and then when the team's going through bad stretches. Like, I've been around for way worse. And we've seen him grow as a human being and as a hockey player. And he has sort of a local connection. I certainly have a much more emotional resonance with Kadri than I do Gardner.
You think back to Ron Wilson shaming him on his kid, you know, we're going to put him on the wing and he's going to learn. And he basically treated him like garbage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it looked like he lost his way for a while and Shanahan eventually had to, you know, call him out on the carpet and suspend him. And, you know, we'll never know what really happened. But I think in our guts, we kind of feel like whatever it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing.
It wasn't nothing.
And he's pulled his act together. I don't know. I was watching him play last night, and I was thinking, when the tough decisions come, I won't care about most of these players getting dealt, but I would care about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Especially after that pass. Holy jeez.
I'm trying to, like, oh, I had the goal in front of me. It was probably one
to Marlowe. It was passed to Marlowe.
Okay.
Marlowe looked great.
Yes. Yes, you know, that's right.
It was a great goal by Marlowe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's tough to talk about Marlowe right now because he stinks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You
know,
he does.
He just thinks. He had 27 goals last year, you know, and everyone's like, oh, you know, he's got at least one good year in him. No, he doesn't. Like, Father Time's undefeated.
Yeah, but the drop has been a little bit more than I think we expected.
Yeah.
Because he is the professional type. Like, some guys you can tell the drop is coming because you'll see the odd Instagram shot of them in the offseason. Like, oh, yeah, they let themselves go.
You know what's interesting about Babcock is he is so freaking stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
Until it's time to move on. Like, think about Matt Martin. Matt Martin had to be part of the team.
Yeah.
You couldn't imagine the Leafs without Matt Martin. This guy is integral to the team. And then all of a sudden it was like, nah, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Next thing you know, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they buried him like Jimmy Hoffa. As soon as he's done with somebody, he's done with them. How much time, by the way, speaking of done, because I got some important questions.
No, we got time. We got like 10 minutes.
Okay, well, I want to let you handle this one,
because
this is kind of your wheelhouse. This is a rank 'em. Which property is more likely to end in a satisfying way of these epic stories?
Okay.
Avengers Endgame or Season 8 of Game of Thrones? Which one is more likely, rank 'em, to end satisfyingly?
I'm going to go, it feels like Avengers. I mean, well, it's tough because I was going to say because they've done such a really good job. Like, the Avengers universe is a great one. I'm going to go with the Avengers because there's not as many hours that we've committed as we have to Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones, the stakes are higher because we all communally watch it at the same time. So it feels more like part of our world. Where with Avengers, which I can't wait to see it, but, you know, if you don't see it on the Friday, you know what? Sunday matinee. The stakes are higher, so...
What do you mean by that, the stakes are higher?
The stakes are higher.
Like the stakes in the Avengers.
No. The stakes are higher in Game of Thrones. And by that I mean because they've been more part of our life.
Right.
And so, because they're more part of our life, we have higher expectations. So it's going to be harder for a satisfying ending.
Do you have higher expectations of Game of Thrones? Because the Avengers series...
It's fantastic.
Like, not only that, but I mean, it's the anchor of the Marvel Universe, which is pretty much the only movies anybody goes to see anymore.
Yeah.
Them and Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Like, it's Marvel and Jordan Peele and everything else makes under $10 million. Mm-hmm. So... it's sort of the center of not just the cinematic universe for Marvel. It's the center of the cinematic universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody knows what comes next.
Nobody knows what comes next.
This could be remembered either as like the, you know, this is either the final shot, like Jordan over Elo. Mm-hmm. Like, it's either the perfect ending, or people are going to feel really let down by it.
I just think people have more of an emotional connection with Game of Thrones. Because there's more, just for pure stats, more hours. And again, it's something where it's appointment television viewing. And the movie, like, you got to see it, but you can see it this day or you can see it that day. Sunday, it starts, the music plays, you're in.
So this is interesting because...
it's more lifestyle.
People answer questions, they often betray their own biases. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, because to your mind, you're thinking of the personal involvement that you have. Like,
well, I think that everyone
you
does.
As the arch narcissist think, okay, the answer is, well, what will I find more emotionally satisfying?
Yeah.
The cold computer-like structuralist, me, says, which one's harder to do?
Okay, which one's harder to do?
And I kind of feel like Game of Thrones is harder to do, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Because the Avengers have one storyline to wrap up, mm-hmm. and Game of Thrones has about 4,000 storylines to wrap up.
Yep.
And I don't know that, like, because
are
we're
they all going to be satisfying?
Yeah, like they may get a couple right.
Yeah.
But they'll get a couple wrong for sure.
Yeah.
And it's really hard not to focus on the bad as opposed to the good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Avengers do a good job, if they make, like, even the equivalent of a decent Captain America movie out of Endgame, people are going to go, what a run that was.
Yeah.
That was something.
Mm-hmm.
If people fuck up Jon Snow, right? If they mess up, you know, Daenerys or what happens to the Starks, like, it's only going to take one little thing for people to go, man, that pissed me off.
And also, if Bram suddenly becomes the star, it's like, you haven't done anything in years. You sit on a sled and hodo. Like that's it. And you're hanging out with an old dude, and you're a black crow now, and you know, whatever the hell it is you are, and are the black raven, and we haven't done anything. But now suddenly you're gonna be a big deal.
See, and it doesn't work like the playoffs in a sport where you can have a guy make a surprising contribution.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Buddy Biancolana with the 1985 Kansas City Royals has an unbelievable World Series. He's on Letterman. It's a great story. Everybody loves it. I don't want Buddy Biancolana in my Game of Thrones.
No, you
I
don't.
I want my stars to carry their freight.
Yes.
And it's going to be a tough one for them.
Yep. Yep.
I have more trepidation. Also, I'm going to watch 8 1.5-hour episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot.
Now I'm going back to your thinking.
That's going to my thinking.
No, I'm going to your thinking.
Yeah.
If they screw up the Avengers Endgame, it's 2 hours out of my life.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll be bummed.
But I got some popcorn.
But no matter how bad season 8 is, I will watch it all.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even twice.
Yeah, it
doesn't
matter.
Just to see if
it
stunk as bad as I thought it did.
Yeah, like they could literally decide to end it with a rap battle or a dance-off, and you'd still watch it. It wouldn't matter. And the dragon could actually come down, and it could speak like Davy and say that the real key, Jon Snow, is be yourself.
And
because if you be yourself, you can beat anyone. It could end like that, and you'd still watch it.
I feel like Game of Thrones is doing a Leafs going into the playoffs right now in the sense that there's all this talent and all this excitement about it.
Yeah.
But you also sense in your gut, I think it's trending down.
Yeah, you're more negative about it than I am.
Well, you just like the ice dragons.
Yeah.
Ice dragon.
Ice dragon.
Zombie dragon.
Yeah, zombie dragon. Yeah.
I have a feeling like this is just going to be 8 1.5-hour porn movies for action. Like, I think it's just going to be one ridiculous scene after another.
Bob, I didn't know porn went 1.5 hours. I thought it only went 7 minutes.
And then your computer immediately goes to ESPN.
There's an 8th minute? All right. I'll take your word for it.
That's a good name, actually, for a porno production company.
Yeah.
8 minutes.
8-minute porn. Yeah. Mm. I bet there is one, actually.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. They think of everything.
Yeah, they do.
I can tell by your body language you're feeling like you want to wrap up.
No. We got like five minutes. Throw it. I was going to make fun of Ryan Braun or Eminem, but what do you got?
What else do I have? Oh, I want to ask you about Freddie Anderson. This is my final Leafs question. So they let in 5 last night.
Yep.
I think he had something like an .861 save percentage.
Yeah.
Now, the Leafs were pretty porous defensively.
Yeah, and Justin Hole knocked them over.
Yeah.
Like, way to make a good impression on the coach there.
Zaitsev standing in space, finding the one spot where he can perfectly screen his goalie.
He screened Anderson so well.
Beautiful. It a textbook.
Looked like 94 Andrejczyk there. Callback.
50 goals
for
the other team.
For the other team.
But I think in our guts we know that Freddie doesn't look as good as he did a few months ago.
Nope.
Just the eyeball test.
Yep.
And it's funny because I think that Babcock is going to want to push his club in hopes of like you know, giving them the defibrillator, going in against Boston. Would you rest him?
Yes.
Or would you push him at this point?
No, no, no. I think there's six games left. I want Garrett in at least three of those games. I want Sparks in three. We know they're the Leafs. Guess what? Spoiler alert. They're in third. They're going to start game one in Boston. So
now the flip side to that is, yeah. Do you remember the 14-0 Colts from back in the day, the
yes.
Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah.
I think they went up 14-2 on the year, mm-hmm. but
they rested.
Yeah. They basically rested everybody.
Yeah.
And then they got shit kicked in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Except for one thing. And you're right. But football playoffs is so weird because it's a one game size. Let's say the Leafs, they go in sputtering. Garrett Sparks plays is in and has some bad games. Well, then maybe they get beat up in game one, but there's still potentially six other games. So I get it, but I just think rest Anderson. I don't want third period game seven Frederick Anderson against the Bruins again.
Personally, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
Here's something that confuses me, Matt.
Yeah.
The Raptors famously rest their players.
Yep.
And I think they were really pioneers, certainly within MLSE, for sports science,
mm-hmm.
the science of rest and how to properly manage your players' efforts. Do the Leafs just not listen?
Oh, I think hockey doesn't listen.
Is it hockey?
I think it's full hockey. And you're right. It is. This is something we can get into another day. It's so weird. It's the same building. It's the same big company. And yet when it comes to rest, they look at it so diametrically different. Now, part of that, Kawhi Leonard is an outlier. Just everything that's going on with Kawhi, that's a special case. But still, they're resting and worrying and just getting guys ready for the playoffs. That is such a huge deal in one sport, and it's not even talked about in the other sport. And that other sport also plays 82 games, and that other sport is a little bit more physical than basketball.
I know backs are tricky things. It's an inexact science. But Jake Gardner was hurting, missed a little time, came back. He played tons of minutes, and then he went down again.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think was going to happen if he had a bad back and mm-hmm. he hadn't really rested it? I mean, did they screw that up? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But these are the questions you ask. Okay, well, without Jake Gardner, you're really screwed.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know he has a bad back and these kinds of things are easily aggravated, well, shouldn't you be managing his minutes?
You'd think,
right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It just seems weird to me. It's like one side of the building has access to sports science. I'm not sure the Leafs side does.
Yeah. It's there if they choose to use it. But who's the great Popovich of the NHL?
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Is there one?
No.
Okay, quick question for you, and then we'll wrap up.
Yep.
Zack Snyder, the director of Batman versus Superman, today went on a tirade, profanity-laced tirade, about people should grow up. Of course, Batman kills people.
Yeah.
Does your Batman kill people, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah, mine doesn't. Let's discuss.
We don't have time. I mean, the Dark Knight. You know, Batman's got to, every now and then, you gotta kill someone.
Yeah, I feel like he's darker, though, if he has the illusion of nobility.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how messed up is he? It's darker societally if he kills, but psychologically, he's even more messed up if he does bad things but won't let himself admit that he is a killer.
I think Zack Snyder had to first address the fact that they waited 2 hours for them to fight. They fought for 2 minutes, and they stopped because their moms are the same first name. Like, Zach, if we're gonna, let's deal with that. We don't have time. We got to go.
Wonder Woman was good in that movie. I'll just say that.
Oh,
I'll just say that. She was
that
really,
movie.
Really good.
Oh, every time she was on the screen, it's like, oh, good, you're here. Things will be less bad. Absolutely agree. Goodbye, Bob.
Are we that late?
No, we're 50. We're like 45 seconds away.
Oh, well, then, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.